Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Like a battlefield.
There's a battle for the soul of America.
We can't let him tear the kingdom down.
This is no game. This is war.
Flesh and blood. But it's between the bad and good. We can't stop until the trumpet sounds. This is war. Not a game we're playing. This is a war.
The only question is, which side will you be on? It's time now for a call to decision with Pastor Butch Paul.
Satan's armies come to kill. This is war.
Hello and welcome, my friends. This is Pastor Butch Paul, 21 September 2021, and welcome to tonight's broadcast. Another powerful broadcast tonight with Stan Deo. I'll bring him up in a few minutes. Y'all stay tuned. You do not want to miss this broadcast because there's things happening. Folks, the world is in turmoil. The world is in turmoil. It's almost chaos all over the world. It is amazing. Before I go to our guest, I'll make mention I have two prayer requests tonight, please. Our good friend that supported this ministry for a long, long time named Daryl from PA, he calls in once in a while, asked for prayer. Daryl had a stroke quite a while back, and this guy's right side paralyzed pretty badly. He's asking the Lord to give him a little bit of use back so he can continue his work of typing and writing letters and sending things out. So, you prayer warriors, pray for Daryl, please. And today, right here in my office, right beside where I'm sitting right now, I had the honor of leading a young man, 16 years old, to Christ. He accepted Christ as his Savior, asked him to come in his heart and guide his life. And he was so full of joy and so full of excitement. His name is Jackson. Please keep Jackson in your prayers. I know Satan's going to tackle him, going to try to tear him down. Please keep Jackson in your prayers. And I want to thank Blue. Blue knows who she is. Thank you, Blue. Again, for all you do. Thank you. And folks, don't forget our t-shirts are still available. I know I'm hitting pretty hard because I think it's a fantastic testimony. A garment to put on a t-shirt that has a top of it, no fear. Underneath it, a lion standing amidst a flock of sheep. The lion not mask, the sheep mask. And underneath it, it says very clearly, 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear. If you got the guts to wear a shirt like that, in today's public, they're here. And talk about a way to open the doors and just watch people stare at you. Because everybody wants to read a t-shirt. What's a t-shirt say? When they read it, you can tell they're thinking about it, at least. They're $24.95, folks, for anything, any size from small to XXL. That's what we have. Order it when you can. Get it when you can. I just got a fresh batch in today. So order while you can. We want you to have them, okay? And the one saved always save books, the one that debunks that theory, are here. We have some more come in. As I said, they're $5 a piece. That just pays postage and handling because we got them for free. I don't charge anything extra. I just try to get everything covered for the cost of what we have to do to put them out of here. So they're available for $5 if you want them. And a teaching I did Saturday, this past Saturday, one that if you had asked me this 30 years ago, would I ever teach it, I would have said, no, I don't think it's necessary. Boy, was I wrong then. But I got it right now. If you read Ecclesiastes chapter 3, you'll find where the main scripture come from. It's a time of war, my friends. We're in a time of war. We have been in a spiritual war for decades, and the church has just about vacated the field and hadn't been in a battle. We're in a time of war. God forbid it goes to violence. It has in some places already, and even around the world has. I don't want to see it happen. But I do look for a civil war, vaxxed between to unvaxxed, blacks to whites. I see this happening as prophesied by Dimitri Newman. When it happens, America will be attacked from the south, from nations like China, Russia, and other South American nations also. So I'm telling you this because of care and the teaching. I would suggest that if you're just a brand new Christian, it's going to be a tough teaching on you. Because it's going to go against everything your pastors have told you about Romans chapter 13 and obey Caesar and just follow, go along, get along. It's going to go fly in the face of most things you've been taught all your life about false love. Oh, but Jesus, he loves everybody. He would never send them to hell. And Christ never sent anybody to hell. They go on their own accord. All these things are on there and much more. So if you want a copy of a 1050 DVD or CD, just call the office at 800-777-4403 or 304-846-4448 and tell Lisa I want a copy of the past Saturday's teaching, A Time of War. It was a hard lesson to teach, but I had to teach it. There's coming a time, I do believe, my friends, when we're going to see things happen, and I don't think it's years away, I think it's months away, that we couldn't have believed just a couple of years ago. All right, our guest tonight is Stan Dale. I've known Stan Dale now for quite a while, and in my mind, he and his wife Holly are leading experts on the end time preparations and what's happening around the world in a lot of different ways, and Stan happens to be a professional on tracking earthquakes and predicting what's coming because he's done it for years. He knows the ring of fire and everything about what's happening. So I had one tonight to talk to us about a few things, especially the volcano now that's in the Canary Islands. We're going to talk about that in just a minute. And Stan, welcome. Are you there, Stan?
I was here, Stan. Yeah, sorry.
Okay, there. Okay. Come and join us, Stan.
Hello, Earth, yeah.
Good to have you.
I was just sitting here listening to the show with you, and I'm thinking, oh, yeah, that's me.
You know, before we get to what I want to talk about tonight, the obvious volcanoes I want to discuss, but I want to share with the people. I didn't get to hear the program I did today. I filled in for Melody Cedarstrom, Discount Gold and Silver. I read an article come out of the London Times. I think it's important enough that I just briefly hit it right now, if you don't mind.
All right.
All right. Now, I think it's just that important. I'm getting it here right now. Now, folks, listen to this. I'm not making this up. This is the London Times. This is a verified article. It actually is true. And when I first read it, I thought, I'm going to check that out. But it's actually true. This is the UK, London Times. All vaccinated people must quarantine over the winter months or risk serious illness. Now, folks, this is right out of the London Times. I'm not making this up at all. And it goes on to say, this guy named Perrone, Professor Christian Perrone, of the Health Organization, World Health Organization Advisory Group of Experts in Immunization, former Vice President Professor Christian Perrone, says this: unvaccinated people are not dangerous. Vaccinated people are dangerous for others. It's proven in Israel now. I'm in contact with many physicians in Israel, and they're having big problems. Severe cases in the hospitals are among vaccinated people, and in UK also, you have the larger vaccination program, and also there are problems. According to Dr. Kobe Haviv, Channel 13 News, 95% of seriously ill patients are vaccinated. Fully vaccinated people account for 85-90% of hospitalizations. We are open only more COVID branches. The effectiveness of vaccines is declining or disappearing. They never worked, folks. They weren't meant to work. So this is a real true story of the London Times. They said that the ones who vaccinated are spreading the disease. They're the ones who are in danger of dying. Think about that. Please think about that. We're not making this up. Please don't take that jab. Please. For your family's sake, don't do it. And for God's glory, don't do it. And Stan, I had to share that because I think that's really important.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I'd been hearing reports about the nurses here now for probably a week or so that attend the people with COVID in hospitals, that in their in the nurse's nose now, there's like 291 times the amount of virus in their nose than in the average person with COVID. So somehow or another, they're being exposed to it all the time, even though they've had the shot and everything. They're carrying the virus in their nose. It's amazing.
Wow. And, of course, we know the shot is not really a vaccination anyway. It has nothing to do with being vaccinated. I mean, I was sharing with you, you know, before we started on program tonight, the graphene oxide actually is a conductor for RFID chips. And it'll hook you up, according to the articles. Now, this is the headlines of folks on our website. It'll hook you up to the more or less the Internet of Things, 5G. We're seeing this happen. Stan, this was not by accident. This so-called pandemic was planned years ago, and we have proof of it, and we know that to be true. It was just the right time to bring it in, and the people as a whole, including here in the country, got scared to death and jumped on the bandwagon, took the shots, wear the mask, no matter what it is, that they're going to do it because they're scared. And if you're walking in fear, you're walking in idolatry, because Christ, God didn't give us a spirit of fear, did he?
Nope, certainly not.
So, anyway, folks, we're going to share something tonight, and I'm praying that all that I've been reading is wrong on this, but it looks like some serious thing may be happening from the Canary Islands with the volcano. I did see it for the first time this evening on evening news. People are being evacuated. The stream of lava is phenomenal. I mean, it's going right into people's houses, right into swimming pools, everything. It's really not a good thing to see. La Palma is not that big an island, actually, but it could bode a catastrophe for the east coast of every country from Canada right on down to South America. But Stan, and you go ahead and share your information and just say whatever's on your heart.
All right, Butch, thank you for that. You know, over the weekend, Friday, Saturday, when this started, the volcano over at the Cumbre de Vieja, which is the big volcano to the north of La Palma, I started looking into reports, and then I started looking into research from 2001 up to about 2018 about the danger posed by the west coast slopes in the southern part of the island. Now, for people that are listening that want to look at this later or now, you can go to standeo.com, S-T-A-N-D-E-Y-O.com, and that's our the webpage that Holly updates 6 days a week. Now, when you get onto that site, there will be a sign at the top right-hand corner there that says YouTube. And right underneath it, there's a couple of words that say Show Images. Now, if you'll click on that, you'll see some of the images of this volcano and things that are reported today on that page. And I'll refer to them by, slide number for what they are to show you. Now, having said that, the volcano... originally, the worry in 2001 was that this volcano would shake loose a bunch of dirt and trees and stuff that grow on the western slopes down the southern tip of the island. And these are pretty sheer, like they're 45 degree and higher degrees of slope along this coastline. Now, there have been several, volcanoes erupt since the early 1800s till now there that we know about. And they have, thrown lava and stuff out down the south there and dirt and debris. And they've trapped a bunch of water inside some solidified magma tubes there. Well, the report in 2001, the guys were saying, look, if you get a good shake on the island, this could release, so many million cubic meters of dirt and stuff down the slopes into the ocean facing toward Florida and then north and south of there. And this could produce a tsunami that they said in 2001 of up to 150 feet. And then there were some modern estimations, in the last 2 or 3 days, people were saying, oh, it could go up to 900 feet. Well, I then found the report in 2018, a reanalysis of the data that these guys did in 2001 without the help of supercomputers. But with the use of supercomputers, I found a place that had a very good update on the danger from La Palma. And I tend to think that what I read there is valuable and calming, if you wish. And on my show images page, slide 53, down at the comments there, it says, read current evaluation of tsunami threat here. And you'll click on here, and you can download the site that tells you all about this and why you shouldn't be worried at this point. Now, here's some of the logic this guy used. He said they took supercomputers and they modeled all this, and they said, all right, first of all, consider all this dirt and debris and stuff that's on the side of the slopes of the southern part of La Palma. Are, you know, they're locked in, and they have a high coefficient of friction. So in other words, it's not like looking at a glacier that, you know, it breaks off a piece, calves a piece, like it did up in Alaska, because those things slide ice on ice, and they come down really quick and cause this great big tsunami, you know, in the areas up in Alaska. So they use the same kind of stuff here on the things for La Palma, which doesn't count because dirt, you know, has trees on it and rocks that are stuck in, you know, to the side of the slopes there. And these inhibit the flow, the easy flow of all that debris should it get a good shock. It slows it down. And then I looked at another view of La Palma, and this is on... I'm just trying to get to my site there, which slide it is. The best slide to look at, is the one that has a number 56. And it shows what's called a look at the seafloor topography or bathymetry around the west side of La Palma. That image, I'll have to correct it. It's not linked properly. But anyway, you can see in the little picture there. It shows a kind of like a deep well, a deep dip, just off the west side of La Palma where that stuff would fall in to make the tsunami. And if you look at that, what that is going to do is cause the tsunami to go down, zip up almost back toward itself, and then curl on out toward wherever it's going. This will impede the travel of a tsunami should one be generated there. So... with the drag, with the shape of the ocean bed, there's a pretty good chance that it will never even make a tsunami reach the eastern slopes of the United States or Florida, which is more at risk. So I'm telling people, I'm not a seer. I'm looking at the science of this. And should I be wrong? And this, because it's still erupting over there, should I be wrong and it does produce a tsunami, you will have between 5 and 6 hours to prepare yourself to get to high ground and stuff like that. You don't want to waste time if an announcement comes that this has happened over at La Palma. You don't want to waste time saying, oh, what am I going to put in the car to take with me and that kind of stuff. So the smart person would have an emergency pack, you know, key, you know, critical papers that might be submerged, money, medicine, some food and water and stuff, and a place to go. You got to figure out where you're going to head. And so you don't want to waste time figuring all this out when the announcement is just made. You want to leave then to avoid the crowds that are going to hit the highways. And if you're in Florida, there's one main highway which is going to clog up pretty quick. So wherever you are, and if you hear this announcement about La Palma, you know, the second eruption and it's generating a landslide or, you know, a tsunami type thing off the west coast of it, then is the time to get in your car with your family and go to your safe place, you know, above certain altitude, you know, depending on where you are, because in some places it'll be higher reach than others if such a thing is generated. So I'm just telling you that for safety's sake, for preparing just in case for right now, because this could get worse. And the report I gave over the weekend and this morning and earlier this evening on Hagman Report was the data up to that point, but I saw that the lava is starting to come from a different place on La Palma right now. Instead of up at the top where that big volcano, Cumbre de Vieja is, yeah, that's a big part of it. It's now coming from the area, about halfway between the volcano that was erupting and down at the tip. And there are several thousand earthquakes still happening. They're telling you that something is moving. And just above that pool of earthquakes that's happening now, there is a leak. You know, lava is flowing out through a fumarole and heading toward the sea. Now, that's just lava. That's not a thing to concern about yet. But what has amazed me from the start is that there have been volcanic eruptions on La Palma since the 1800s for sure and beyond that. But they were moving up the island. You can see where the craters were, the volcanic craters going up the island, you know, in the eruption chain. So to see these earthquakes, not up at, you know, and underneath the top volcano at the top, These are halfway down the island. And at the tip of these, just above them on the north part of them, this is where the lava is leaking out now. So what does that indicate? The lava has been flowing through old tubes underneath, you know, La Palma, and it the earthquakes we saw, like 6,000 or 7,000 of them over the weekend, which were indicative of an earthquake the earthquakes being generated by an eruption, we looked at that and said, right, why are the earthquakes down here when the eruption is going to be up the mountain at the top there, you know, at Cumbre de Vieja, the big volcano? Why are they so low down? And all I could figure was that these cooled magma tubes down underneath, you know, these lava tubes underneath the island had partially sealed off where the old volcanic vents were in the ages past. And the pressure of the magma coming up there caused all the fracturing of the earth above them, right where you don't want it to, where these, you know, the debris is on the western slopes of the mountain center. It's there, but it turned a corner and went up toward the north part of the island to form the eruption we're seeing now. And then this secondary one started now closer to where the earthquakes are, telling us that the wall or whatever it was down underneath there that was cool and redirecting the magma to the top is fracturing. And if it gets blocked by the fluid flow or the magma flow, it could very well erupt right behind, right in the middle of the slopes which hold that debris that we're concerned about. Now, until I saw this, I wasn't too worried, because I didn't think that it was going to get shocked loose by the action in the north, because it was just magma flowing and, you know, kind of bubbling and hissing and whatever. But if this happens, then something bigger is afoot. So I'm just telling you that's the pros and cons of it. And it's happening right now as I speak to you, which kind of, it wasn't happening over the weekend when I did my first analysis. So I'm kind of being amazed by this myself.
Well, so right now it's a pretty big if, I guess. We're just surmising what could happen. The odds of it happening in the middle, you think 50-50, 70-80, 70-30, what do you think?
I don't know. It's how long is a piece of string? I mean, it bears watching, you know, constantly. I mean, let me see if I can find this site for you here. This is where you want to go. It's in Spanish, but you can get Google Earth or Google Translate to translate it for you. But it's the Spanish Geographic Institute, you know, like our USGS. Right. It's called the IGN, Instituto Geográfico Nacional de Spain, okay? So you look at, in your browser, you look at IGN.ES. That's all you have to type in to get to their main site. And then you can look at things, say, like deforming of the island is called deformacion, and earthquakes are called sismicidad. And you can kind of move your way through this, even though you don't know Spanish. And I see that they do have an option for Spanish, for English up there, but I could never get it to work on my computer. But that's the site you want to go to, because they have the current count of earthquakes, current state of the eruptions. And if there is going to be a live link to the activities of it, you'll find it on this site. They're the ones that you go to, the Spanish USGS, which is called IGN. Okay.
You know, they're saying 100 to 300-foot waves. If it would, even a 100-foot wave would come so far inland, there'd be an awful hard time to find a place high enough to escape that, unless you got on my side, the Alleghenies, on the western side of it. A 100-foot wave, God forbid it went 300-foot, it would go right up to the base of the mountains.
Well, again, that depends on the shape of the terrain, because you're going to find in some areas of the coast where you've got high places even, that it won't go as far, and in others it'll go a lot farther that are closer down to, you know, sea level. It's going to be, in the worst case, it might go inland 4 or 5 miles. So if you can get away from that on the west, you can't in Florida. In Florida, you got problems. But north of there...
Yes.
Oh, I don't know what the Florida people do, but...
It's hard to imagine. I've only seen tsunamis on TV. I've never seen, you know, obviously anything in real life. I've seen what the devastation can do, but it's hard to, when you think about a tsunami, it's a wave. It's hard to imagine that it can go that far in and destroy your thing in its path, because it's just a wave off the ocean. But I don't comprehend the depth and the size of the ocean. My mind can't comprehend what that is. But with that kind of force behind that, I hope it's only 4 or 5 miles. I'm afraid some place maybe more than that, but Florida, if that happens, we're pretty much no longer there, as we know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And,
I know.
And even into the Gulf and through there, it'd be really nasty.
Well, let me tell you something, Butch. On Friday night, I got a call from a fellow that I've talked to before, and he said, look, I'm going to tell you something kind of in confidence. He said, I've got a friend in the Department of Defense who's just talked to me and said that they're very concerned about the La Palma incident, that it might produce this tsunami hitting our East Coast. And I said, well, look, I can mention that, but I'm going to, you know, put the kind of warning on it is to be careful, because if the DOD hasn't made this public, it's because they don't want to panic people unnecessarily until the last minute. But, you know, I can understand why they're hesitant to say anything if they in truth are worried about it, which is what he said. But that's why I say you get prepared as best you can, and, you know, keep your eye on the eruptions at La Palma. I mean, when it was happening, I had I recorded a lot of this live into a video. That it was somewhat exciting to watch it all happening. You know, the eruptions increasing and people being evacuated. I mean, they've taken 6,000 people off the island with military aircraft,
yes,
and
yes,
naval craft and everything. They don't do that unless they're concerned about their area. But now then, the magma, the lava is flowing down toward the sea right now, and when it hits the seawater, it's going to produce poisonous gases, which is going to be interesting for the folks there when the wind blows it their way. But it's for the people on La Palma, I'd say their prayers for them and their well-being are well warranted. They're just, you know, normal people that speak Spanish, but you know, they're To be honest, I looked at this thing in Google Earth and flew around the island in Google Earth, and I thought, why would anybody in their right mind, you know, live in these places and put houses there when they've seen the result of the magma flows and, you know, that they're still active? And but anyway, a lot of people have. I just don't understand that.
Well, I don't either, but, you know, everyone likes different terrains. You know, I mean, what can I say? I like out here in West Virginia where it's green and a little bit mountainous. Some people love Arizona where it's hot and dry. Everyone has their own likes, and that's why we have settled the whole country. But if that would happen, it just come in 5 miles, we'll say, along the East Coast, do you realize how much damage would do to businesses and homes and people's lives? Just along the East Coast, there are millions and millions of people living along the coast, within 5 miles of the coast.
I know. And it could be further inland than that. I don't know. It just depends on the actual terrain along the coast when it hits.
Hang on to the break, Stan. We've got more talk about folks, your phone calls. You want to talk to you. Talk to us, have any questions, give us a call. We'd love to hear from you. 844-769-2944. 844-769-2944. Talk to us, ask questions. Love to have you.
Satan's army roams the land, seeking souls of fallen men.
5 years ago, I had such chronic back pain that at one point I bought 3 mattresses within an 18-month period, hoping to relieve my lower back pain. I was only 40, and I hiked daily along with eating a fairly healthy diet. I was not overweight and didn't really have a reason for my back pain. As soon as I started using 3 sprays of Synergy One each morning, the pain immediately went away, and I've never had it again. I also use Synergy One before bed for a better night's sleep. Whenever my mom has back pain, I remind her to use Synergy One. Sure enough, she's all better after using it. I've probably given over 10 bottles away to friends with back pain. I take it when I travel and never miss a day.
Raising growth hormone levels to a more youthful level consistently results in deeper sleep, better energy and mood, fat loss, and the elimination of pain through the repair of injuries. Synergy One is guaranteed to improve the health of your body or your money back. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit synergisticuniverse.com.
Hello, folks. Pastor Butch here to tell you about our newest sponsor, a store with food company that truly surpasses all the others for quality and flavor. Numana Storable Foods, the only storable food manufacturer that has all their foods grown in the USA. They are GMO-free, have no artificial sweeteners, no high fructose corn syrup, no MSGs, no chemical preservatives, and no soy. They are simply the best store foods available for all the right reasons. Go to themana.com or call 888-597-0775 and mention code Pastor Butch and get 10% off your merchandise. Again, numana.com or call 888-597-0775. Mention code Pastor Butch for a 10% discount.
Are you paying an arm and a leg for a healthy alternative lifestyle? Are you tired of products not meeting your expectations? Is it becoming harder for you to have faith in restoring your body to the temple it began as? I know your struggle is real, and I'd be honored to help you and those you care about feel better and thrive. With organic ingredients and no fillers made right here in our own country, many of which are wild-crafted right here in the mountains of Montana, we at Superior Mountain Herbs are blessed to be able to get you the best herbal products with no hassles or misleading information. Truth and transparency is what you get with us. For a free list of products available to hear this month's special as well, please call Summer at 406-274-7579 or email me at green with an E at the end, assistantsummer@gmail.com. That's green with an E at the end, assistantsummer@gmail.com.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
This is war, not a game we're playing. This is a war.
All righty, folks, we're back here talking to Stan Deo. StanDeo.com. You got to check his website and check out his information. And he's been sharing with us about La Palma, and he's seeing things within the last hour that it concerns him. And, folks, the phone line's open. If you have any questions, don't be afraid to call us. And we love new callers. We love everybody who calls in. But we love to hear from new people. If you listen tonight for the first time, this is a live broadcast where you are, perhaps. I know it's repeated all over the Northwest on weekends. I realize that, so the program is always late up there. But if you're listening live and you're a new caller, don't you be bashful. We're just regular people like everybody else. I'm an old hillbilly and Stan's from Colorado. He's nobody important. He's just Stan. He works for boss we do. And we work for the same boss. Give us a call at 844-769-2944. 844-769-2944. And Stan, you said that you were... within the last hour, you found some information that I don't think you shared that with the people yet, have you?
Well, a bit of it. I'll just go over it because it's just before the break. Looking at La Palma there, I thought that the main eruption was kind of dying down. The earthquake numbers were diminishing. And then in the last hour or so, I got a notice from the Spanish version of the USGS that are watching that over there at La Palma. And it shows a new fumaral event coming up south of the big crater there at Cumbre Vieja. It's halfway between that volcano and the southern tip of the island. And halfway is where all the earthquakes were happening, 6,000-7,000 of them over the weekend, which told us that there was going to be an eruption.
I just want to say, folks, you hear that? 6,000 or 7,000, I don't care what the magnitude they were, 6,000-7,000 earthquakes in a couple of days. That's a lot of shaking and rolling and rocking. Go ahead, Stan.
Yeah, they assigned a whole team. They had it on live TV there in the Canary Islands. I think it was Channel 10 there. But live coverage of all this because of the concern and trying to evacuate people from the areas likely to be affected. But the earthquakes were not underneath the volcano at the top. The volcano at the top is where it all blew apart and started throwing magma down into the houses and stuff. But now then, underneath... where the earthquakes did occur, just at the top edge of that, it's now starting to vent lava down toward the sea to produce, you know, the poisonous gases on the coast there. So I'm now concerned that there will be a second eruption, but down toward where the earthquakes are instead of up toward the north where we were, you know, watching the old crater blow its lid. So the things are changing rapidly.
And you say if it erupts down lower, that'll take away a lot of safety guards along the mountain that maybe will slow it down before it's going to be going, right?
Yeah. I mean, if you get a strong eruption right in the middle of where all these earthquakes are up on the surface there, it's going to loosen a lot of the overburden or, you know, the dirt, rocks, and trees and stuff on the slopes of the old cooled magma extrusions from ages past. And that could dump all that into the ocean, creating the tsunami that people are talking about. I don't know that it'll be as bad as some of the reports that were floating around, but it could produce a tsunami that may reach our coast. Wow. And I think the worst affected areas will be Florida and slightly south of Florida, and moving up towards you guys, you've got mountains and high places you can probably evacuate to if you needed to. So we'll keep an eye on this. Yeah. We'll have it up on our website at standeo.com. If I find an urgent thing happening, it'll be up there, whether it's, you know, nighttime or daytime. We'll put it up to warn everybody something's happening. So I can only do that for you. That's the best way we can alert
plenty.
You.
That's plenty. I live on top of a mountain here where I am, and I don't like the weather sometimes in wintertime. It's much worse than those around us in lower elevation, but it's not bad. And I like where I live. If it floods up here, the whole world's in trouble. But
hey, have you got your fishing pole ready?
I got two or three. I'm ready to go, and you know, and I'm just ready to just get on the ark, go fishing. But anyway, by the way, before we go to calls, what is the main livelihood for people on that island?
I think mining looks like to me. There are various
what
minerals
kind of
and stuff. I don't know yet. I'm just looking at the mining camps and didn't tell me what they were. It's kind of a dark-looking, you know, dirt pile or whatever next to the camps. But I could probably look that up and tell you a bit later.
I'm just curious. I mean, the livelihood, no matter what it is, going to be wiped out if it flows down that side of the island. Now, it's only threatening one side, right? Is that right?
Yes, primarily. That's true.
Okay.
Let's see. Okay, that's California. Okay, we don't want information on La Palma, California. We want it on the island. Okay, yeah, I was looking to see if there was some information on the Internet, but we'll check on that next commercial.
Okay, that'd be great. Okay. All right, let's take a call or two. Let's start first with Jerry in Ohio. Jerry, welcome. Come on in.
Hey, Pastor Butch. How you doing, brother?
I'm doing well, sir. What's on your mind tonight?
Hey, I have a couple questions for Mr. Deo.
Yes, sir.
Do you have any updates on the Yellowstone supervolcano and also the fault line that runs off the coast of New York that goes down past Norfolk, from New York down to Norfolk, that fault line, the supervolcano and that? Is there any updates on anything happening with those two things?
Well, Jerry, good questions. With the one under New York heading down toward, you know, the naval base, I haven't seen any signs of activity, nor have I heard of any warnings. However, due to news given to me about Yellowstone, private individuals that are connected with USGS kind of sideways-wise by marriage and things like that, they have been putting seismometers and special sensing equipment all over Yellowstone to feed directly into the supercomputer down in Utah. And that's been going for a couple years now then, because they are very concerned with what is developing there. And so they're monitoring, you know, like constantly. And they had all the drivers and stuff delivering the seismometers and other equipment necessary to put in into contractors. They've all had to sign the National Secrets Act, you know, with jail and a fine if they tell the details of what they're doing. And it only leaked out because of, you know, people married to other people that heard it from their spouses. So I'm telling you that is of interest to the DOD. And certainly we know that it has the potential to erupt or to, you know, catastrophic or to make magma flows that will damage the area or to release gases. So will it be a super eruption? I don't know. I think North Island, New Zealand, the Lake Taupo caldera will erupt before Yellowstone.
Hmm. And okay. How huge would that be in New Zealand? How big is that?
Well, the last time it erupted around 80 AD or so, it blocked out the sun from the clouds for 2 or 3 days around the entire planet.
Wow.
And if it erupts, it will take out half of the North Island of New Zealand. And they're watching it down there. I've been in contact with the what's called the GNS, the Geological Nuclear Sciences, like our USGS for New Zealand. And they are monitoring lake levels, which the whole Lake Taupo sits on top of the Taupo volcano, the caldera. And they're monitoring it underneath the water for temperature rises and the level of water in the lake, because if it drops too low, there's not enough weight to keep the lid on the volcano and it'll erupt. So they are definitely monitoring it, live, real time.
Well, could the volcano drain the lake itself?
Oh, it'll blow the lake clear out of the country.
Yeah, it would. It could erupt. You never know. But go ahead. I'm sorry. Got talking to him there. I'm sorry, Jerry. Go ahead.
Well, anyway, that's all I wanted to ask. And anyway, God bless you guys, and you keep up the good work. And it's all in God's hands. We know that.
Amen.
Absolutely.
Amen.
Absolutely.
Good call. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. All right, let's go to David in Massachusetts. David, come on in. Welcome.
Hey, Butch and Stan.
Yes.
I'm not sure where I heard it from, but isn't there some sort of like a shrub on the Canary Islands that's called a wormwood?
I don't know about that.
David,
I never heard that.
I don't know either, David. Interesting point, but I've never seen it, so I can't address that.
Because the Book of Revelation, it says, a rock, which was ablaze, called wormwood, was splashed into the sea. And, of course, I know Chernobyl, that's, the Slavic, tongues, Russian, Ukraine, is called Chernobyl, literally means wormwood.
Well, David, I do know that. Go on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead, David.
Yeah. Okay. What is up? I think Steve Quayle, right?
Oh, yes.
So what does he have to say about this?
I don't know. Have you talked to him about it, Butch?
No, I haven't. I have not. I haven't talked to Steve quite a while. I don't know what he's saying about this.
Well, David, that star or that wormwood thing talks about an object coming in from outside of the atmosphere, from out of space, and that's going to be a different issue than the volcanoes and stuff like that. Certainly, the Bible does mention a burning mountain that falls into the sea, and the Maori people in New Zealand called their Lake Taupo a sea, and should it blow its top. Then a burning mountain, being a volcano in the old languages, would fall into the sea. So we're watching that as part of the fulfillment of prophecy as well.
Okay. Good question. Anything else, David?
Well, I could probably talk to both of you for, the next 10 hours, so I'll let somebody else, say.
Thank you, David. By the way, there is a bush in the Canary Islands called wormwood. Actually, the official name is Artemisia Thuscula. It's a Canary Island wormwood. It's a bush. It's a small evergreen. So the leaves smell like pine and all that. So there is a bush over there called wormwood.
Well, so that's interesting. Butch, that's what the monks in Europe in the during the Crusades period, they used to make it that oil because it was they shouldn't have done it, but it was like an erotic type thing for men to use the oil of the wormwood tree.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Let's go to Jan in Iowa. Jan, come on in.
Hello. I've got a little more information. This, of course, Hal Turner's been doing a bang-up job of giving us information. But the volcano monitoring system of the Canary Islands is showing that the pressure of lava flow out of the existing vents, but there's 9 of them now, it literally now is off the scale. It's above, 5,000 ppm. And according to the Guardia Civil, the north of the island, which is supposed to be dormant, is waking up. Sonic waves are being reported in nearby villages due to the intensity of the eruption. Windows and doors are shaking. Now, do those sonic waves, what will they do to this island? Will they shake the whole thing apart or what?
Well, I don't think it'll shake it apart, but it certainly might loosen some of the vents that carry magma or lava from underneath. And that, the movement of that, if it hits a large body of water, you're trapped in the old magma tubes, that could cause an explosive, you know, super-duper volcano to erupt. And that could send shockwaves that would certainly, you know, break up parts of the island. I don't know if it'll be broken into separate islands, but certainly that kind of shaking would fracture lava tubes that are cooled and allow lava to flow nobody knows where. I mean, just everywhere.
Yeah, exactly.
I've been following that, too.
Yeah, I was going to ask about those lava tubes underneath. If they became unblocked and seawater got into the lava tubes, could they theoretically cause the lava tubes to explode and go across as far as they go and out in the ocean?
Well, certainly on the island, yes. And the tubes do look like they go slightly offshore from where we see the earthquakes. But, yeah, it could do that.
Okay. And that would also loosen that debris that you were talking about.
Absolutely. It's in the wrong place. Yeah. We're seeing these earthquakes in an unfavorable place.
So basically, stay in prayer and stay prepared because anything could happen.
That's right. And just keep paying attention to what's happening. That's why I gave you the address of the Spanish Institute, Geographic Institute, so that you can monitor it yourself. When we're monitoring it, we'll put it up on our website, but we might be off for a cup of coffee for an hour and miss the big eruption. So people ought to do it themselves.
Well, I'm in Iowa, but I've got a lot of family on East Coast. And I have found twice a day this guy is on La Palma, and he's speaking English. And he's telling us what he's seeing and what he's feeling. And that is very interesting to listen to him. He's just an everyday guy, you know?
I saw that.
What's in the newspapers and what he's hearing. That's very... I thought that was really good because that guy is scared.
I know. I know. He was really good doing that. He was standing. I saw him when the wind blew his notes away and he had to cut and go get them. But, that's fascinating that individual is doing that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anything else, Jan?
No, that's it. Thank you.
Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Good call. Good questions. All right, let's go next to Alice right here in West Virginia. Alice, come on in. Welcome.
Butch?
Yes.
Say about 2 months ago or so, I discovered Hal Turner's radio show. He has been talking about this for about 2 weeks now.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody called in yesterday and said that there's a plant that's all over the place on that island, and he gave the Latin name for it. Then he said it's called wormwood. They also said that all this stuff should happen, there should be a tsunami. It doesn't matter if you live on the coast because it's going to back up the rivers that go to the Atlantic Ocean, and they're going to go backwards, and the other places are going to flood.
Okay. Yeah. Comments on that, Stan?
Well, certainly the rivers will carry the pressure, you know, the rise in... level from that. Again, they will be dependent upon whether the tsunami hits square on to the river, channels that come into the sea, or whether they hit them at an angle. I mean, that happened in northwest United States in Washington State years ago when there was a tsunami out there that was generated probably before America was formed that shoved stuff way up the riverbanks, you know, inland. So it carried the damage. So you're absolutely right.
Huh. And another thing they said, someone called in and said that there's another volcano that looks like it could erupt and cause a tsunami on the west coast in the Aleutian Islands.
I don't know that would generate a tsunami that would hit directly. It'll hit at a tangent if it does, because the Aleutians form an arc facing mainly south rather than toward our east coast. But you still could get a glancing blow from that, and that may have been what caused some of the older intrusions into the river, you know, in Washington, Oregon. So that's something else we'll have to have a look at. I haven't done that yet, so I do apologize.
Well, that's okay. I mean, the way I see it, I looked at it for the little bit I understand about that stuff, and it didn't look like it was anything to worry about just yet. But another thing, someone called in and said, well, what about the nuclear plant? Huh. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, we do have to look at those. We've got about 100 and some odd that are in civilian use and then some in military use. And it only take one or two of those on the West Coast getting damaged to create a flow of
what
airflow
about the
across.
East Coast?
Well, on the East Coast, it depends on the prevailing winds if something happens to those.
Oh,
and I
good.
Think,
oh,
I think,
thank you. Man, you made things so much better. I mean, I sure say, oh, my gosh, if we don't get one way, then we're going to get another way. Thank you so much, Mr. Day. Thank you ever so much, and God bless you and Holly. I love you all.
Thank you,
Alice. What a sweet call. Thank you. Yeah, the winds normally go from west to east, folks. That, you know, that may be a break for us. You never know what's going to come on that. Some good calls. We got about 5 minutes left, and folks, the lines are open. If you'll make another quick call or two, 844-769-2944. And Stan, I'm going to give you the last few minutes unless somebody calls in. You got about 5 or 6 minutes left. What do you want to tell the folks?
Well, gosh, there's so many things to talk about. An interesting thing on a kind of a, you know, different topic, but from the Bible point of view, on my show images page, slide 37, I've put a link to an archaeological dig in the Jordan River, in the Jordan Valley, of course, near Israel and Jordan. And they've been finding in this what's called Tel El Hammam dig. It's an old city that they're you know, excavating. It looks like something like... an airburst, like over Tunguska, you know, like a comet came in and exploded in the air rather than hit the ground. Whatever it was, melted, you know, the pots and shards and the mud bricks, it bubbled it like, you know, cooking in an oven. And this high temperature destruction of that city is so close to where Sodom and Gomorrah were and the remains are today that they're now finding, you know, proof of something that was either a gas eruption that exploded from what's called the salt diapir there and destroyed the cities of the plain there, you know, Sodom and Gomorrah, with burning, you know, sulfur and right. other debris from the explosion. Or it was something from outer space that came like an asteroid, but it exploded in the air above Sodom and Gomorrah, and the heat from the explosion caused all the sulfur compounds and stuff down in the under the riverbed there to erupt and rain down on the cities. But anyway, it's just good to see that they're proving, you know, another part of the Bible.
I had a listener years ago send me some sulfur chunks. He was over there. He said, I got my hair behind me on my wall, hanging on a bulletin board, pinned up to the walls, in a little baggie, some of the sulfur balls from that area. So that's interesting. Right. Interesting. Let's take another call. Let's talk to Mick in Mexico. Mick, come on in.
Hey, Butch.
How you doing?
Here's something that might interest you. What if they're using a heart device to do this, create that so-called volcano effect?
Now, you know, that's a good question. Why about that? Could they be doing that on purpose?
Butch, I was having trouble hearing that through the noise.
He asked, is it possible that they could be using weather control, maybe HARP, to cause these problems?
Well, I'm sure that weather control experiments or actions in the three major countries that have such equipment could be causing changes in our weather. As far as the volcanoes, I don't know that would be affecting those. Those are much bigger energy things that, you know, we can't make the power for that. It's too powerful.
I know they can make underground. We'll say waves with sound and do different things. Is that true?
Well, yeah, that ultrasonics and subsonics, you can do that, but you'd have to focus them from several different directions on the place that you want to disrupt. And as I say, we're talking the energy required would be like at least the energy of the atomic bomb that hit Hiroshima. I mean, we're talking a lot of energy. that'd be required for that. So I don't know that they would be playing with that much in the surface of the earth at this point. It'd be silly.
Good question, Mick. I got you up. A good question. Thanks for calling. What a good call. Let's go to Daryl in PA. Daryl, you're going to be the last caller, so what's on your mind?
Real quick, thanks to you and Stan for a very good broadcast tonight. Thank you very much for asking prayer for me, because my stroke side is really bad. Folks need to get that book that you're offering, Once Saved, Always Saved, The Doctrine of Deadly Delusion by Matt Tiemann. It's a great book. It uses King James verses in the Bible. It's only $5 postpaid from you. And again, lots of King James verses in that Bible to prove what he's saying. He talks about a lot of the things that jumped out of the Bible at me that shows that once saved, always saved is a definitely a very deadly doctrine. Thank you for preaching on it and many times, Pastor Butch. And I'd like to tell everyone, please get the T-shirt with the lion, with the lambs, with the wearing the mask. A very beautiful T-shirt. You'll help call the decision that way. And get the other things they have, like REM sleep, because it works for me. I could hardly sleep before. And get the Vitamir mouthwash and toothpaste. It works great and keeps my mouth really clean. So thank you for carrying so much good stuff, Pastor Butch.
You're welcome, dear.
Stan and Pastor Butch, thanks for the program tonight.
Well, God bless you, my friend.
Thank you.
Thanks for calling.
Okay.
Good call. And Stan, we are down about the last minute or so, minute and a half. I want to thank you for all you've done over all the lot of years, man. You have worked your tail off. You and your wife, Holly, Bob, both have worked your tail off trying to get people prepared, tell them how to prepare. Years ago, Holly put a book out on Dare to Prepare, a great book. I got it on my shelf right now. I'm looking right at it. So you all have been at this a long time, and thank you for your dedication to Christ and for your service to everybody out here.
Well, thank you for that. Each of us has a part to play, you know, even if it's just talking to your neighbor when they to know and ask you about it. We're all on the front lines.
Well, we're watchmen on the wall, and we see things coming, and we know they're coming. They're prophesied. There's no point denying that. We might pray for a reprieve, if it be God's will, but we know these things are coming. We know there's going to be earthquakes and wars and rumors of wars. We know all this is happening right now. I mean, China is literally talking on their news broadcast about taking Taiwan back, and the only thing standing in the way is America, military. And they're actually discussing war on the Chinese news broadcast, but we never hear it mentioned over here, do we?
No, and you're not hearing much about Korea, you know, North and South Korea.
No, you're not.
They're going to go, too.
Well, Stan, thanks so much. Say hi to Holly, okay?
I'll do it, Butch.
We'll talk to y'all soon again. God bless, my friend.
All righty.
Bye-bye. Folks, we're back tomorrow night with Deborah Tavares, another powerful broadcast. Don't miss it. Have a wonderful day tomorrow, and stay true to Christ. Good night.
Satan's army roams the land, seeking souls of fallen men.
Melody Cederstrom and CSC Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSC talkradio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.